This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This hour of the Greg Hill Show brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Ram Power Days. Stop in today for your new 2019 Ram 1500 truck.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show with your host, Greg Hill. Streaming live from WEEI.com and the Radio.com app. And now, it's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
I wanted to make sure that you could join us, so I'm inviting a bunch of you to come. And here's the deal. If you are the ninth caller right now at 617-931-0937, that's 617-931-0937, you will join us Thursday morning, 1 week from this Thursday at Fenway, and we'll hook you up with breakfast, and then we'll get you to meet a Sox player or two. I don't know who's going to come by the broadcast, but we'll make sure that you get to hang out with a Red Sox player or two. Then we'll go to lunch, and then you'll get great seats for the 1 o'clock game. Now, here's the deal: don't waste these tickets if you can't get out of work.
Yeah, like
you have to be. Obviously, you're not going to be able to work that morning, and you're not going to be able to work that whole day. So you want a guest, and one of you will be upgraded to the dugout seats, to very best seats that we have here at WEEI. All right, so be the ninth caller right now, 617-931-0937, and you can join us next week at Fenway when we do the show live for a 1 o'clock game. And I have another pair of tickets to give away at 8:30 this morning. So you'll have another chance to win coming up at 8:30 and for the rest of this week. Wiggy is here with us. Yesterday we talked to Tom Brady, but it was late, so we're going to get a rare content replay on that, and we want to make sure that we get all of the Tom Brady presenting sponsors in. So right now, a rare content replay on Tom Brady on this show late yesterday. Tom Brady is brought to you by Northeast Electrical Distributors, powering New England business with electrical products, services, and solutions. Your New England Honda dealers, driven by the award-winning 2019 Honda CR-V, the Mass General Cancer Center, Everyday Amazing, and the Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in the sexual health of men. Hey, Tom Brady, good morning.
Hi, Greg. Good morning. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. What a night last night. It was an amazing night for us as fans to look up and see six banners. And I was wondering if it was different for you than any other opening night, or was it just business as usual?
Yeah, it's pretty cool to have that happen. And I saw a lot of my ex-teammates came back. Saw them in the locker room after the game. Saw them a little bit before the game. You know, it's a great night for everybody to celebrate. You know, this current team's focused on what we had to do to get to 1-0. You know, it was a long week of practice. There was a lot to prep for. But, you know, we played a solid game, pretty clean game, not a lot of penalties, not a lot of turnovers. And, you know, it always feels good to start the season on a good note. So 1-0 is a good place to be. And now we got to, you know, get back to work right away and try to go down and beat Miami and play in a place where we haven't had the most success. So that'll be a big point of urgency for us this week.
Who impressed you last night, receiver-wise, or maybe I should say, who didn't?
Yeah, they all played really well. There's, you know, we have a lot of veterans at that position now. So, you know, the more you play with guys, the better you feel, the more confidence you gain. You know, Jules played his normal, spectacular self. Phil had one of his best games. Josh was spectacular. Jacoby made a play, a couple plays actually, one in the run game, one in the pass game. You know, it's just about trying to distribute the ball to the guys that are open, and that's what my job is, to find the right guy to throw it to and to make a good, accurate throw. I could certainly do some things better, and I'm gonna just excited to get into work today and see if I could do a better job this week.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to doing things better, I feel like if you were gonna look at something from a negative point of view, maybe you could look at the shotgun snaps as being a little rough last night.
Those are fine. I got no concerns. You know, I think for all of us, you know, nobody's played a full game yet. You know, except for last night. You go through the preseason and. You know, I only played in one preseason game. I've played a lot of football over the years, but it feels good to play a whole game and to find the rhythm and find the flow. And I'm excited to get into a routine now. The football season's here. You know, the fall weather's coming, something that I've been so used to for a long period of time. So we got to come to work every day with a great attitude and try to make improvements. And it's a long season. You know, the marathon's just begun, and it's about putting the hard work in, the commitment, the discipline, the dedication. You know, trying to go get to 2-0. That's what our goal is this week.
According to the NBC broadcast last night, they said that you offered to let Antonio Brown stay with you. Is that like a guest house thing, or would he be in the main house, or like what's up with that?
I think there's a lot of things said on TV, so I didn't say that to anyone publicly. So. Anybody's welcome to stay at my house. I'd love to have everybody. I've had a lot of people over my house in off season, during the season. And, you know, my teammates are important to me. You know, relationships are important to me. That's the reason why I play. I've had so many great teammates over the years. And, you know, that's part of what makes football so special is the relationships you build with the guys that you play with. And, you know, this year's no different.
I just want to clarify for Nick, when you say anybody, you don't mean you don't want Nick over the house or anything like that.
No, just teammates. No, not Nick. No,
oh,
just,
man.
Oh, man.
Just kidding, bro. Just kidding. I can't accommodate everybody. I mean, I got a wife and kids and
are you sure? I've seen the listing, Tom.
And all that.
I was going to bring snacks. We could watch John Wick 3 together.
that's pretty good.
Is it... You know, you were obviously asked a lot about Antonio Brown last night, and I was thinking about it. Is it kind of, you know, as a leader on this team and somebody who's, you know, experienced Randy Moss or Corey Dillon or any other player, is it kind of a part of what you have to do to, you know, to kind of downplay a little bit the expectation and make sure that this doesn't become a distraction early on?
No, I think the point is everybody could say whatever they want, and everybody in the media, you know, fans and so forth, but they don't have to do the work. So none of it really matters what people think or what they say. What matters is, you know, us as teammates working hard to get it right. Again, it's a daily commitment, and this is a hard season, and it's long, and it takes a lot to win games. So, you know, if you're not doing the work, you know, you could make up whatever BS you want to make up. You know, we're the ones that have to go into work every day to, you know, focus on what this is. The NFL is tough. It's a long, arduous season, and you know, there's nothing more to do it other than to kind of, you know, buckle your chin strap and go out there and try to make improvements on a daily basis. So that's what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to try to be the best teammate I can be. I'm going to try to do my job as well as I possibly can. You know, that requires a lot of different things, and it's going to change a lot over the course of the season. And that's why I love football, and that's what the challenge of playing football is all about for me.
Is there anything particular, Tom, that you think has led to the success that you've had against the Steelers and you know, in particular at Gillette?
Well, they're a great football team. They've been that way for a long time. They've got a great franchise. And, you know, we played a good, solid game. I thought if you don't give them – a short field, and you know, we didn't have a ton of penalties, and we had a couple holding penalties there late in the game, but I'm really excited about how our defense has been playing. I've been going against them every day for the last 6 weeks, and I realize the challenge it is to complete passes on them. They give you a lot of looks, so you know, I'm just gonna, you know, try to distribute the ball the way that I need to. And there weren't too many unnecessary chances for me last night. There were some tight throws, but, you know, for the most part, our guys were making a lot of plays. And, you know, anytime you play the Steelers, you know, a one-point win is good enough for me. And we went there last year, and they gave us everything we could handle and wanted to play a lot better than we played last year. And again, like I said, the opener is always tough. It's unpredictable. We've incorporated a lot of new parts, and a lot of guys are, you know, some guys' first games ever last night. And we're just going to have to, you know, learn from our mistakes and try to build on it and get to, you know, go to Miami again in a place that's been very challenging for us to play and try to get to 2-0.
What, you've been here for a long time. I wanted to ask you what you thought it was about this organization that makes it possible for guys who might struggle elsewhere to be successful here.
You know, I don't know what it's like in another organization. I played in one place in college and then was fortunate to be drafted here. And I've loved playing for Mr. Kraft, for the Kraft family, for Coach Belichick. We've just got a great, you know, our coaches really set the tone for us and the players. And I've played with a lot of great teammates over the years, a lot of veteran players who have their priorities, you know, focused on winning and doing what's best for the team. And that starts with, you know, our coach and his commitment to winning. And, you know, he never takes his foot off the gas pedal. You know, I think we've just learned how to continue to work hard and prepare, and you can't take anything for granted. So by no means was last night perfect. We've got a long way to go. We've got to build on the things that we did well and try to go out there and do a better job. You know, we've had a lot of success over the years. So, you know, one win doesn't get you anything in the NFL, and we're not looking past anything. We're going to take this day by day and do the best we can do for each other. You know, I'm excited because, you know, I get to show up to work and play football, and you know, I got a lot of great teammates to do it with.
You got some compliments on the jacket this morning, the turquoise jacket you were wearing last night. I don't know if you do you want to mention the designer on that or anything?
Did you like it? Could you pull something like that off?
I don't think
no,
I could.
No, he couldn't,
I don't
Tom.
Think I could, Tom. I don't. I think. No. I think. I
what's your style, Hill man?
I need like the slimming. I need things that are slimming. I don't. Certain things don't work for me.
I know. Wait, look, we got you got a. There's a TB12 center in Boston. Now, why don't you pop in there and we'll get you in good shape.
Well, maybe I should. Then, like, what can? What like? What would
you
I,
do, and you could do a lot of things. And you could, you know, wear whatever clothes you want.
Yeah, maybe I should. I mean, Gronk told me he wants to come in here and rub CBD oil on me at some point this week.
Oh, there's a visual.
A lot of people would pay a lot of money for Gronk to rub, you know, a lot of things on him. So
what did
I think
he,
if he offered that for free, you might take him up on that.
What did he say to you on the field prior to the game last night?
He's the best, man. I love that guy so much. We've had a great relationship. And I think one thing about him is he's got such a youthful energy and spirit about him. And it's great to see him enjoying his life. And, you know, he's a very, he's just one of a kind in the best possible way. He'll be a success in anything that he chooses to do. You couldn't ask for a better friend or teammate or person. Took a lot of pride in what he's done, and he's earned everything that he's gotten. He's overcome a lot of things, and he's just a great friend. So, I love seeing him have fun last night.
Tom, Kyle Van Noy was inactive last night because his wife went into labor. And, of course, you know, we know you're a big family guy. I think two of your kiddos were December babies. Would you ever miss a game for the birth of a child, or does work take precedence over that?
I'm not answering. That's hypothetical. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. It's a tough one.
Yeah, our kids are born in the Back Bay. We had home births with our two youngest right at my house on Beacon Street, and they were both on Tuesdays, and my wife planned that pretty good. I don't know how she pulled that off.
She's a superhero,
I was
Tom.
Able to, I think it was one was on a Monday, one was on a Tuesday, and I have some great memories from those moments. So it's great for dads to be a part of that. The moms have the hard work to do, and you know, what a joyful experience to be a part of.
You guys get together and buy like a, you got to like do a, like a group gift or something like that. Like a Patriots, can you get like some Patriots onesies or something like that?
They give a lot. You know, when my kids were born, I had so many people send things to the house and you know, there's just, it piles up. So between family, friends, a lot of fans send a lot of things, which is very cool. So yeah, I got a lot of nice gifts from a lot of people.
We got a question of the week, which is brought to you by Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing in the sexual health of men. And it is from the Foxborough fanboy, Nick himself. Nick, what do you got?
Hey, good morning, Tom. How are you?
What's up, Nick? How are you? Did you enjoy last night?
Tom, I showed up to work in the clothes I wore to the game last night. That's how much fun I had.
Attaboy. It wasn't much sleep last night. You had an early morning.
Yes, sir. I took your advice, got lubed, and had a great time, man.
Good. I haven't said that in a while. I got in trouble for that, so I can't say that. Drink responsibly, Nick. That's a new... Right. I learned that as soon as I said it.
I stay super hydrated all the time, wink, wink, if you know what I mean. And I always drive responsibly. Thank you, sir. So.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to ask you, like Saturday, when the Antonio Brown news broke, I'm sure your phone was probably lava hot to the touch because you were getting so many text messages from people. Everyone was talking about it at the same time. That must have been like one of the biggest WTF moments that you've experienced as a Patriots fan. Does anything surprise you anymore? And where would you rank that in your, you know, like, holy cow moments as a member of the Patriots?
Another rank question.
Oh, all come right. on. Go ahead. Come on, they're fun.
Yeah, there's that's your 3 for 3 on the rank question.
Thank you.
Which is totally fine. But, you know, we've added players at different times. So, you know, I remember when we traded for Randy Moss. I remember when we got Wes Welker. I remember when we drafted Julian Edelman. So, you know, you just... There's a lot of things that happen. There's a lot of change in the NFL. A lot of it's unpredictable, and that's why people love it. And there's just a lot of different moments that are exciting. And anytime you add good players, it's exciting. But again, it's potential is one thing, and work is another. And we've got to go out and do the work. So I'm excited for what's ahead, and we've just got to go in and learn from our mistakes and try to build every day and try to get, you know, everyone on the same page and everyone up to speed, and everyone's going to find a role and try to contribute to help us win. So it's nothing more than that. We're not going to make it anything different than it is. And, you know, we're going to go do the best we can do.
Tom, Philip Dorsett is the Needham Bank player of the game. What impact do you think he can have on this team this season?
What a great game he is. His two touchdowns, and, you know, Phil's just, we move around a lot of different spots. He knows how to do everything. He's good with the ball in his hands. He can run through the defense. He's a very unique player. So I love being with him. We added Cam, I think it was two years ago at this time. Yeah, so it was the beginning of the 17 season. You know, he's got a great opportunity now. And everyone loves that he's on our team and contribute in a big way. And he's going to get a lot of opportunity. So it was a great start to the year for him.
All right. Well, listen, I know. What time did you get out? Would you probably get out of there? 2, 3? What time did you get out of there last night?
Pretty late. I was asleep at about 2:15. So I was pretty amped up. It was hard to get to bed. So just going to try to get some rest today, tomorrow, and then be ready for practice on Wednesday.
All right. Well, great start. And we'll talk to you next week. All right.
Cool. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right.
Bye, Tom.
There's Tom Brady.
This is Boston's Sports Station. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. Visit the Nines the day after a Red Sox win, and kids will get a free meal from the kids menu with every adult entree purchase. The 99 Restaurant is the official family restaurant of the Boston Red Sox. Well, Tom Brady, interesting there. Of course, later in the day, he met Antonio Brown, had the selfie spot with him, and even that night with Jim Gray, I think, to me, expressing some reservations, but work. Again, I keep coming back to that. Put the work in. That's going to start today.
Well, that's what he's saying, Wiggy, is he's saying that he's not all in necessarily on Antonio Brown until he sees him do the work.
Right. He did the same thing when they got Randy Moss. You know what? We'll see how he does, and we'll go from there. Worked out pretty well.
And he's going to hold him accountable because that's what he does, right?
Yeah, and Brady always is hold everybody accountable. I mean, and he kind of tries to put everybody on the same level. So I think, like I said, it'll be fine.
It's going to be fine?
Yeah,
that's what you're saying?
Fine. It'll
okay.
be fine.
Well, fine.
It'll be fine.
Backpedaling already.
No, it'll be fine.
A lot of receivers on this team. They didn't cut any. They cut the special teamer / defensive back, Obi Melifonwu. So N'Keal Harry going to come back at some point. We'll see. This receiver core will trim down by the end of the year, I am sure. We had Bill Belichick appearing later in the day with OMF, quite an interesting exchange with Lou Maloney. Did you guys catch this back and forth regarding AB?
Yes.
First, he asked him about Tony Dungy's comments, and then this was the follow-up from Lou.
And just from a fan's point, do you just look at it and say, okay, you know, you just acquired Antonio Brown. He's the best, one of the best wide receivers in the game. You know your team is good already. That's got to be that moment that when you secured Antonio Brown and brought him in, you had to feel pretty good about that.
Well, Lou, we feel good about every player we add to our team. Otherwise, we wouldn't add him to our team.
Oh, I know, but he's really good.
Yeah, not sure I ran a foul in here.
No, I'm just saying he's a good player. I'm just saying your excitement.
Saying, why would we add a player to our team that we didn't think could help our team? I mean, what sense would that make?
Oh, no, it wouldn't, but this guy's a really good player. That's all. I'm just saying maybe you got really
excited.
I'm
saying excited. Every player we add, we think. I mean, why would we add him if we didn't think they could help us?
I think that tops your Brady question for awkwardness of the day.
Oh, that was awesome.
Massive lip smack there from Bill. A lot of lip smacking yesterday. Oh, boy.
Well, yeah. They play the Dolphins, so I think we can all calm down for the week.
If you listen further, Ordway starts rubbing his back saying, I love you, coach.
I mean, and where was Christian cowering in the corner in fear?
Keep quiet.
I was afraid that he's not going to be invited to some 20-year reunion thing.
Checking his phone so he doesn't have to get eye contact.
Yeah,
we only bring in good players. Why else would we sign him?
Monday night scores, New Orleans 30, Houston 28 at the buzzer on a 58-yard field goal. And the Raiders beat Denver 24-16, a wire-to-wire win. Of course, Dave Dombrowski let go. Our old friend Evan Drellick reporting that the biggest knock against Dombrowski from management was that Chris Sale extension that he had to push to get done, and one that Dombrowski, quote, did not handle smoothly with ownership and upper management. So I guess he is upper management. But
well, we'll probably find out if that's true when the Red Sox hold their press conference today.
Correct.
or tomorrow.
No, Ortiz is throwing out the first pitch every home game the rest of the season.
Oh, he is, yeah.
Stop it.
I mean, they do owe the fans a press conference, though. I mean, I think that's ridiculous that nobody from management or ownership is stepping up and explaining why. And why at this moment? Like, why not wait another couple of weeks before you do it?
Well, better now. I mean, there's nothing else going on. Why keep around?
You ain't getting a press conference, though.
What?
You ain't going to get one. Not until they get the new hire.
Yeah.
They're going to have a press conference when the Patriots are playing in the Super Bowl at 6:00 that Sunday night.
But
they owe people a press conference, but why would they do it now? Like, I mean, if they didn't do it, you know, right afterwards and, you know, to say, hey, here's what happened, here's why we're going in a different...
Well, what are they afraid of, though? I mean, are they afraid of giving an explanation? I mean, do they think people don't realize that this team, the defending world champions, are not going to make the playoffs?
I think it's simply there's bad blood and they have nothing good to say about them. Right?
I mean, I would agree with you on that one. They probably like, you know, hey, it's like we don't need to say anything about this guy. He's gone.
292-word press release. That's all Dave Dombrowski got. Nathan Eovaldi on the mound tonight, the Red Sox at the Blue Jays, 7:07, the first pitch on the Shaw's in Star Market. WEI Red Sox Radio Network, it's the Greg Hill Show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
What we have just witnessed is the most unprofessional act that I can ever remember seeing in professional sports, and I've been covering this stuff for 30 years. And there is no obvious reason at this point to believe Antonio Brown gives a damn about anyone but himself. There is no reason at all to believe Antonio Brown cares about anything at this point besides himself.
I can add Mike Greenberg to the list of people that Wiggy does not agree with, and I'm sure that when it comes to that statement, you believe that is almost as bad as Stephen A. Smith, who enraged you yesterday, apparently, right?
It's the crazy thing about these people, and it's a shame that ESPN actually gives them a job and allows them to go on TV and say some of the things. Stephen A. Smith went on yesterday and basically had a rant about how what Antonio Brown was doing was a bad look for black people.
What? Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It just like
in what way?
Like that now by him doing this, other black people are going to look around and go, oh, AB doing it. I can do it too. And like, come on. And then this, like, the Greenberg, like, this is the worst thing he saw in sports.
Yes.
I mean, think about all the stuff that we've seen in sports with, you know, guys going into the stands or guys walking off the
field. The malice in the palace.
Yeah, guys walking off the field. Well, the game's still going on. I mean, just someone, it's like these people are so phony out there. Because I didn't hear this outrage. Where was all this outrage when Anthony Davis was doing it with the New Orleans Pelicans? Like, you know, I don't want to play for this organization.
Well, guys do it in the NBA all the time. If they want out of Dodge, they do whatever it takes to get out of Dodge.
Did you hear Stephen A. Smith saying that Paul George was going to set back black people when year after he signs with Oklahoma City, forces a trade to go to the L.A. Clippers? Where was Stephen A. Smith then? Where was he banging his fist and pounding the table going, this is a bad look for black people. I'm disgraced. Your family should be ashamed. They're making this dude sound like he went on a killing spree up and down the East Coast.
But for sports-wise, for on-the-field stuff, you have to say what he did is maybe not the most unprofessional as like having a brawl with fans, but mm-hmm. It's near the top of the list.
Well, I would think what he did in Oakland, right, to maneuver... And I
call his GM a racial slur, demand to be traded, record
him a racial slur?
Because he's well, oh, so you're not believing that report?
Well, I don't know.
Maybe. Well, it happened in practice, and yes. And there were guys who
maybe
saw it.
Maybe he saw a box of Ritz crackers over there.
Oh,
hey,
give
me some crackers.
Where do you rank Ritz when it comes to the cracker list? Because I put chicken and a biscuit at the very tip of the top of it.
I like the Ritz crackers.
Do you like chicken and a biscuit? Have you ever tried?
No, I've never tried.
Never tried chicken and biscuit.
I like the Ritz crackers. They now have different kinds of.
Do you like the knockoff, the Townhouse?
My mother loves the Townhouse.
Oh, your
so
mother
be careful
likes
what you say. I gotta go pick her up like 6-7 boxes every couple of weeks
at the dollar store.
No, they don't have them at the dollar.
They don't have the townhouse.
She likes just the specific, the original flip side.
Yeah,
that's the only one she loves. She loves those things. But
well, answer Curtis though.
Yeah, I can understand like when you look at what he did. But to make it sound like this is the craziest thing.
No, stop saying it's. Look at what he did.
Yes.
What do you think about what he did as a teammate? Is it not one of the most unprofessional things you've seen an athlete do?
Well, it's unprofessional, but to make it sound like this was the worst thing he saw in sports, I wouldn't put it in that category. I mean, have you ever seen the video of what's his name? Rudy Tomjanovich getting sucker punched on the court?
He was on the court, avoiding playing by freezing his foot and then calling his GM a racial slur and recording a conversation with
demanding
his head coach.
Demanding he gets his own helmet, and he's the only guy who gets to play with the helmet he wants to play.
Right.
He's a troublemaker.
Yeah, he's had a lot of bad behavior.
He's a narcissist, right? I mean, he's an arrogant narcissist. It's all about him.
Yeah,
right?
I think when you look at that, you see it's definitely about AB. It's all about Mr. Big Chest. But I blame the Raiders because all they had to do is put him on that non-showing up, quitting list, whatever it is.
Well, of course you're going to blame the Raiders. You're never going to say anything bad about AB or about the player.
But why not just send them home? If he doesn't want to play for you, send them home. Don't pay him. He don't play for anybody.
Well, because maybe John Gruden game planned to have the guy be a giant part of their offense this year because he signed the deal and he went there and he agreed to it.
Right. But see, that's,
nobody wants to hold anybody accountable
anymore. But
that's
the other thing. How come we don't hold these owners accountable when they sign contracts and then towards the end of the contract when they feel like, well, you know, maybe this guy's not doing what we want him to do.
You pivot out of this. Every time you get nailed down, it's the owner's fault. What about Rudy Tomjanovich?
No,
my God.
I'm bringing up other situations, and I'm asking the question. Where's the outrage to the owners when they cut players?
Speaking of the owners.
Honor your contract.
Didn't he say, Ken, you would know this because you're Mr. Pittsburgh. Didn't he say that Ben Roethlisberger had an owner mentality, essentially? Isn't that what he said?
Correct. That was the phrase,
What's going to happen the first time that he says Tom Brady has an owner mentality?
Well, why did he say that? Because Ben Roethlisberger would throw his teammates under the bus all the time on that that interview that he used to do, like Brady does with you.
Yeah.
And it was you asked Ben... Ben Roethlisberger questions about his teammates, he would throw them under the bus there all the time.
So that's not going to happen because Tom Brady's not going to do that.
Yeah, Brady's not going to come on here. If you ask him, hey, what happened with Antonio Brown on the specific route? And then all this nonsense about him breaking routes off and running his own routes. He's been the leading receiver on the Pittsburgh Steelers for the past 6 years, and his numbers.
What's going to happen the first time Tom Brady gets in his face about that?
He won't do that here. That's the difference.
He's not going to do that here.
Yeah, and Roethlisberger. That's probably something that they worked well with, because look at the numbers they were putting up. So it had to work in Pittsburgh.
This is Mike. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, Greg. Love the show.
Thank you, Mike.
Hey, everybody's so fake outraged. I mean, Manny Ramirez physically assaulted an 80-year-old traveling secretary. Pedro Martinez threw 70-year-old Don Zimmer to the ground in front of a full-packed stadium.
Yes.
I mean, what are these people talking about? This guy was verbally abusive to his manager. I mean, come on. I mean, guy's going to come in, he's going to ball out. And I don't know about 19-0, Wiggy, but we're going to have a great season, and we're going to get to Miami.
Wiggy says undefeated. Book,
yes.
Book the trip to Miami.
What
undefeated.
What a jinx. Oh, my God.
I don't play for the team, so I don't have to go week to week.
You don't?
I can look at the schedule and say, looking at this schedule, who on this schedule is going to beat the New England Patriots after what we saw in week one? And generally, we're like, yeah, it takes the Pats, first couple of weeks to get things going. Now you look at the performance that they had and go, wow, this team looks pretty good. And they just added the best wide receiver in the game.
I mean, the first eight games, they don't play anybody that has a chance of beating them.
Baltimore is right before the bye week.
First nine games, because they play the Jets twice, and then they get the bye week.
Yeah, but they play Baltimore is probably going to be their hardest game of the first 9 weeks of the season, and that's right before their bye week. They'll go down to Baltimore, but I'm not concerned with Baltimore. By that time, AB he'll be entrenched in the offense. He'll know what he's supposed to do defensively.
He'll be off social media. Yeah. He won't be on Instagram anymore.
The whole social media thing, the Facebook Live, right? There were guys on his team that thought it was a joke. You know, it was after a win. It's a stupid thing that he did. Okay, we can all admit that. But the way people are like Greenberg and Stephen A. Smith, the way they're talking about AB, that's like the thing that is like, come on, dude. When you look at the guy's career and you look at him as a player on the field and you look at what he's done, we've never heard any issues about this. A year and a half ago, if I would have said to you, Greg, hey, would you want Antonio Brown here? You would have been like, yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think people look at him and say he's a great player. They do, but they're concerned that you take a dynamic that exists. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, this team is going to be undefeated.
Yes.
Do they even need him? And you look the way they played the other night without him. Do they even need him? And is there a risk that he disrupts that from a mental perspective, not from a physical perspective?
I mean,
He's on his fourth team in the last year. He was traded to the Bills, forced his way out of the Bills trade, got to Oakland, forced his way out of Oakland, and came here. That is unprecedented.
When you I don't like you keep going back to, but look at the organizations that he was on. Like,
right, this one's different. This is different.
Curtis is like, that's his anchor that he keeps throwing in the middle of the ocean. Now he forced his way out of Pittsburgh. Well, you know what? There was probably a lot of issues in Pittsburgh, and that they probably he wanted out, and they wanted him out, but they can only send him. Why didn't they send them to New England when New England allegedly offered that deal? And then if they send them to New England in the offseason, maybe we don't have this situation.
Well, back to the New England part of it, Greg, because I think it is important. You brought up that Gronk raised an eyebrow when you saw him over the weekend at the money he got.
Yes.
Fitzy said Edelman, he heard, was a little perturbed. Perturbed, maybe not the right word, but
yes.
They took notice of the money he got. So right away, the money is maybe an issue with his team, and if he doesn't perform,
there's going to be, you could surmise that there are guys who are going to say, wait a second, like whether it's, the Gronk is irrelevant because I don't think Gronk was ever coming back. Gronk.
Well, he's not now.
He wasn't before.
This is a $6 million cap hit for Antonio.
Yes.
They had $6 million in cap space.
Yes.
This eliminates the possibility of Gronk coming back this year.
No, it doesn't eliminate it, because just like they were able to finagle this deal, right, because everybody's like, oh, they only got $6 million. They were able to give him, $9, $15, whatever it may be. They'll be able to, if they really want Gronk to come back, they'll be able to figure something out and manipulate that cap.
But there could be, like, if you looked at Bubs Edelman, it's possible that he could say, wait a second, why is this guy making this much on this team? However, you say that Julian's going to look at this and say, I want whatever weapons we need to win again, and I'm going to be happy that the fact that we have this guy
right
here.
Because Julian just signed the contract extension. You don't think he looked the same? You don't think he felt the same way when they gave Danny Amendola all that money? And he probably looked and go, man, what? They're giving him this money and not me? I mean, yeah, every player looks at it because it's just human nature. But then he'll go out there and he'll do what he's supposed to do. He'll go out there and perform.
This is John. John, what's going on? Welcome to the Greg Hill Show. What's up?
Hey, thanks for having me on. I wanted to say that I think I heard of at least three incidents that are worse than what Antonio Brown did. Latrell Sprewell, he choked his coach, D.J. Carlissimo.
Coach, yes.
Not to mention Mike Tyson bit off the ear of Evander Holyfield.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yes.
And whatever happened to Juan Marichal hit a guy in the head with a bat.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And then who was it? Was it Marty McSorley who came up from behind and basically
with a stick.
Decapitated
somebody.
And you guys are forgetting the most obvious one of unprofessional behavior, the Vikings love boat. I mean, who could ever forget that?
Ooh.
I mean, who would do that?
That one was bad.
All right.
That's a Fitzy. You're stealing Fitzy's one-liners.
If you want to be on this morning, the number to call, 617-779-7937, or you can text us. We'll see if we can get text messages since we have no internet here in 2019 at Entercom, all over the globe, apparently. Coming up, you know what? Danielle has her bee in her bonnet over what appears to be happening to James Bond when it comes to the new movie. So we'll discuss that at some point. We got to get to the news. And during the news, we will find out why a very large lady is angry because of the reason she was denied a manicure at a nail salon.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that is still to come on today's Greg Hill Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
This is Greg from Methuen. What's going on, Greg?
No, actually, it's Max Lane.
No, I'm kidding.
I was wondering, with Wiggins in the studios, hey, Wiggy, listen, there's no H in Wiggins, but there is an H in West. Can you get with it? Thank you.
I mean, listen, Wiggy already went off on Derek the Steelers fan. You don't need him to get angry
at
another.
Why talking about how I talk?
Yeah.
Well, if you don't like the way I talk, move out of Boston. Move out of Massachusetts.
Right.
I bet you can move to California. They probably talk nice and prim and proper.
Yeah.
England.
They probably do. or England.
Get the hell out of Mass. England.
Thank you, Massachusetts.
That's right.
Wiggy is...
R.I.P. Mayor Mumbles.
Wiggy is here today. If you want to be on the show, 617-779-0937 is the number to call.
Can I just bring up something that has me really annoyed and bothered today?
Yes.
The new 007 is going to be a woman.
Why does that have you annoyed?
Can we just leave it alone?
Leave what alone? Equality?
The equality
not only a woman, but a black woman.
The equality thing is going off the cliff.
It is.
It's going off the cliff. Just let men have 007. Now, she's not going to go under the name Bond. She'll have a different code name.
What's she going to be like, Jane Bond?
It's
Bond.
Brava.
Jane,
is be
Jane
her code
Bond.
Name. But
007,
007
has,
is a guy to me.
Yeah.
I don't need to see every GD movie we've ever made with a male character reprised with a female cast, like when they did Ghostbusters with the all female cast.
Yeah.
Was it Ocean's 8?
Yes.
You know, it's just we don't need to do a reboot of every single damn thing and be like, this is for females now. We're going to soften it. It's like, obscure reference, Curtis, The Office, paper, PAPYR.
Yes. Great idea.
So could we do our version of, like, you know, like...
What, First Wives Club? Go ahead. Mean Girls, go ahead.
Tony and Larry, like off of Thelma and Louise?
Yes, whatever you want, sure. Drive the car right off the cliff.
But there was a situation, and that story is interesting because I remember I talked about the Idris Elba wouldn't do James Bond. Mm-hmm. They allegedly wanted him to play it.
Yeah, they did. They wanted Idris Elba to play him.
Right, but he kind of felt like he would get a lot of backlash from, you know, being a black British man. And, you know, when you think of James Bond, you think of a white British guy.
Right.
And I agree with that. Like, for a lot of characters, like, it's hard to change, you know, and I know they're trying to do that with this whole, you know, equality.
The whole equality thing?
The whole equality thing. Not just gender, but race. And it's like, you know, now we're like... You know, like, I can't see, you know, The Godfather being a black guy.
I don't think they're going to suggest remaking The
Godfather. What about Game of Thrones? Were you more African-American than that?
Yes.
But, you know, back to the gender point, you know, alone, there are things that and this goes back to the Carly Lloyd discussion again, too. Like, there are some things, yes, I want to be paid the same as a guy doing the same job as me, okay? That we could shove that little argument aside. Besides that, I think it's fine if you guys have some things for yourself.
Right.
We don't need to appropriate everything like Augusta. I'm fine if you have Augusta. I'm fine if you have your little men's locker room bar at the International.
Right.
I'm cool with that. I don't need to be involved. I got my own thing going on.
You're okay
with
that.
We have curves.
You're okay with it.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. And there may be some women listening who say, wow, I think this is when it comes to advancing the cause of equality.
As a tone deaf.
It would be nice to have a Jane Bond. And, you know, and maybe she, rather than having a martini stirred, not shaken, she's having some kind of like a glass of a Cosmo or a Pinot Grigio or something with the other.
Attitude.
With the other soccer moms in the afternoon.
It's frosé, first of all.
Oh, yeah, it would be frosé all
day.
Or
White Claw.
Yeah,
this is the attitude that flies in the face of that, though, because you're going to stick a woman in there, and it's not an equality thing, because automatically we're saying, what's the more feminine version of whatever James Bond was drinking?
Yeah. Greg, I know, why haven't you thought of this? The perfect Jane Bond. Carly Lloyd.
Carly Lloyd. Yes, she probably can act as well.
Right.
I mean, she can kick field goals. She can probably act. This is just... Don't laugh. It only encourages him. Don't laugh.
Don't encourage him.
It was funny, though.
It only encourages
him. But why... So why do you think that is, though? Why do you think it's this, like, with the, you know, the Carly Lloyd situation, I've said it, there'll never be a woman to play... in the NFL, kick field goals.
Yeah.
Right? Because I just think genetically, a man would be able to kick a ball further because he's physically...
Well, who's been the biggest victim when it comes to the Me Too movement? Hollywood, right?
Right, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so that's sure. Why. I mean, that's why. And so their solution is, all right, let's take the most male of all characters... Mm-hmm. James Bond 007, and we'll make him a woman.
Woman movie like they did Atomic Blonde, where it doesn't have to necessarily.
What was it called?
Atomic Blonde with Charlize Theron. Is that how you say her name?
Charlize Theron. Yes. Good movie.
It was okay, but it was like, why can't you just make it where it's like, you know, this spy type assassin lady?
Well, because that's not accomplishing what they want to accomplish, which is to say we're going to take the most male of all characters. He's a misogynist. All he does is sleep with random smokes and make drinks for himself. Right. And yeah, I mean,
and if that translates to a woman doing that,
we're going to turn him into a woman.
She's going to be, you know, Jane Bond the hoe.
Well,
right. You know, she's not going to get any props when she's banging a bunch of dudes.
Exactly. You're going to be like, wow, that girl's a slut. You know, like
mad.
Barbecuing. let the guys have their little man session bitch gripe fest in the corner with the barbecue.
Right.
Let them grill.
Yeah, yes. I'll have the nail salon and the hair salon.
Right.
Yes. This is Jay. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's going on? I just don't know if you guys have seen the new version of Monopoly, Miss Monopoly. And they give the female players start with 1900 instead of 1500, and they get $40 more when they pass go than the male players.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Wow, Miss Monopoly. I didn't even realize that there was a new version of Monopoly that was just for women.
I thought it was just Miss Pac-Man.
Right?
This is Susan. What's up, Susan?
Hi, good morning. Hey. I had a call. I totally agree. There does not need to be Jane Bond. It's James Bond, and he takes his martini shaken, not stirred. Mm-hmm. That's how I take mine. But I just have to tell you, there is just some sacred things, that, and James Bond is one of them.
Yeah, well, I think that's what Danielle's saying is, you know, she doesn't want to see her secret agent ordering a kale salad for lunch.
No.
Absolutely.
Or an avo toast.
Right. And then taking his roadster to go pick up the kids after school or whatever.
Like that's sitting in the pickup line.
Whatever it is. If you want a new woman superhero spy, get a new woman superhero spy. But there are just some things that are that should be sacred. Like you talk about the Godfather. Are you serious? You want to put a Jewish guy in there? Please.
Can you imagine Jane Bond? Like, you know how you can shoot out of the James Bond car? Like they have the gun behind the license plate. Imagine Jane Bond using that gun to advance herself in the school pickup line at Fessenden or someplace.
I know.
So why do we think she has kids, though?
Right? Yeah.
Doesn't James Bond don't have any? No, at least that he doesn't know about.
I love that scene at Fessenden. That is so great.
Well, I guess if she did have kids, there'd be a lot of baby daddies out there. So.
We got to get to the news, and it is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.